Starting it up with a new intro today, just for Dave.
Are you wearing makeup?
I am wearing makeup. I just got off the set of our show.
What brand do you use?
L'Oreal. What brand do you use?
I use Maybelline.
Dave?
I forget which kind I use. I do use makeup. I do, but I forget.
Well, how do I look?
You look stunning.
All right, here's what I want from the listeners out there. By the way, we're coming at you twice this week. I want to thank Pat Kerwin for talking football with us on Monday. But here we are on Wednesday, May 15th.
Your 5 o'clock shadow at 2 o'clock is starting to come through.
That's the main reason I wear makeup is to hide that.
You were saying something about wanting something from our listeners?
Yeah. I want to know what you guys think about the new intro music.
Oh, they hate it. And I hate it too.
You have even heard it.
I have. It's terrible.
I like it.
What about the one that I picked out?
I don't remember the one you picked out.
It was like, you know, rock and roll.
See, I didn't want to go rock and roll. We might have to go that route, but I want to find a good hip-hop-y kind of beat like we had the last time.
You turned hip-hop into a bunny rabbit.
What do you mean?
Hip-hop-y.
It's true, I did. A hip-hop-ish beat. I'm trying to find it. I like the intro music.
I'll never listen to it.
Please listen to it. Let me know.
I want to add a bar mitzvah back.
I do want the listeners to tweet. I'm sorry if this sounds selfish. Tweet me and let me know. I'm at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, at Dave Richard, at Jamie Eisenberg, at CBS Fantasy FB. We will read your emails today. In fact, I'm going to hurry you guys along to make sure we get to emails today.
Hurry.
FantasyFootball@CBSI.com.
We're going to have to hip-hop along.
Yes, if I be along. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Put podcast or football podcast
anonymous?
On the subject.
Why does he get all the easy ones?
Yeah, it's good. All right, we got news and notes. We got Jamie's top 40 rookie rankings in order for Dynasty Leagues. And then Dave is going to tear them apart.
Probably. I literally have not looked at them yet.
All right. Excellent. Should be good. Let's start with the news and notes. D'Angelo Williams restructures his contract.
Boo.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Hey, you know what's awesome? When a team with 3 to 4 running backs that could probably be decent running backs for any team all play on the same team and they all get 8 or 9 carries a week.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yep.
Except for us. That's not cool for us.
Oh, and the quarterback runs too.
Oh, yeah. And he also gets some of those 8 to 9 carry weeks along the way.
You wonder if they would just be better with
You know what you do with guy. D'Angelo Williams? You draft him if he falls into your lap in round 10 and round 11, and you'll wait for Jonathan Stewart to get hurt.
Yeah, but even then, as we saw last year, week one, I'll never forget.
Oh, yeah.
That's D'Angelo Williams.
Part of that had to do with Tampa Bay's run defense holding up.
Becoming the number one rush defense in football.
Right.
Which we wouldn't know until later. All right, Victor Cruz and the Giants are still working out a deal.
That's better than the alternative, which would be a holdout.
Well, it could still be heading that direction.
No, I've heard that he's lowering his
there's also reports
contractual
that
demands.
He's also not signing his tender yet, he has until June 17th.
Right, sure. I'm not worrying about Victor Cruz holding out until training camp starts.
Come on, it's the Giants. We don't do holdouts.
If he's out for a good chunk of training camp, then I get worried. I get nervous.
I'd be worried for Eli because Akeem Nicks has 1.5 good knees.
The Eagles signed Felix Jones.
This is huge for no one.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and disagree.
Oh, all right. Let's hear why, makeup boy.
This is totally kind of BS, but whatever. Let's run with it. If you want to look at Chip Kelly, every year there are multiple.
Run with it or hop with it.
What?
Run with it or hop with it.
We're going to hop with it here. If you want to look at Chip Kelly, every year at Oregon, multiple running backs.
I agree.
Awesome.
No, I do agree.
I don't think it's just going to be one guy back there. Well, I don't think it's necessarily going to be Felix Jones, but.
No.
All right, so hold on.
The impact is going to be for Bryce Brown if he continues to fumble. Because if that's the case, then Felix Jones, for whatever it's worth, can't stay healthy, never lived up to his potential, not the guy that the Cowboys thought he was going to be coming out of Arkansas. But he's still a veteran running back that if he picks up the system, maybe a little bit better than Bryce Brown. By the way, the greatest Cane of all time. If he picks up the system better than Bryce Brown.
Very funny.
Then he could jump in front of Brown if he has a good training camp. And that's the handcuff to LeSean McCoy. It's a big if. Felix Jones, no guarantee to make the final roster, but it's still somebody just to keep on your radar if you're a LeSean McCoy owner. I did a draft last night. I drafted LeSean McCoy. Somebody took Bryce Brown sooner than I would have.
When did he go?
I think it was like around 7.
Jeez Louise.
Before I was planning to take him.
Maybe they're all about my Chip Kelly theory.
Yes. But your Chip Kelly theory wasn't really revealed yet. because multiple you revealed running it now.
Just said it.
But you just did now.
Oh, but
they didn't hear the podcast yesterday.
I had been buzzing about this for a while.
Bryce Brown was on the radar as like a round 7, round 8 candidate. Maybe you don't look at him, but like assuming that he doesn't fumble and he runs like we think he can, like the Eagles hope he can, you're looking at like 150 touches over the course of the year. I don't think Felix knocks him out.
Shane Vereen to see a bigger role. Yes?
Yeah, that's the, you know, that was the expectation when Danny Wood had left. I mean, you know, Adam, the podcast we did by ourselves, I think it was over a month ago, you know, where I said Shane Vereen was somebody that I want in almost
podcast ever.
Every league. It was.
We had a lot of great feedback on that one.
You know, so I really enjoy the potential for Vereen, and I took him in this draft I did last night, which is a PPR draft, which is the format that I think you want to target him in more so than a standard draft. But you look at the potential numbers for Vereen if you just combine what he did and what Danny Woodhead did. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Leon Washington's going to have a little bit of that, and Ridley's probably going to take on a little bit bigger role. But the opportunity is there for Shane Vereen to have a nice season if he can stay healthy.
Let's do some math. Danny Woodhead last year, 76 carries, 40 passes. How many touches is that? 76 and 40? Come on, Adam. Calculator.
116.
Very good. Vereen had 62 carries and 8 catches.
70.
So now add those two numbers together. 116 and 70.
186.
Very good. It's potentially what you're looking at. I think, yeah, very good. You
and
get an A.
If Ridley fumbles, that's only more carries for Vereen.
Yeah.
And if Ridley gets hurt, that's only more production for Vereen.
Jamie, I share in your excitement for Shane Vereen, who averaged 4 yards per carry rushing. And he averaged 18.6 yards per catch. I think that's going to come down
that
a little bit.
That was skewed a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little skewed. There was
50-yard screen touchdown.
How many rookie running backs would you draft ahead of Shane Vereen?
3 for sure.
Yeah.
Probably 4.
I'm looking at these rookie rankings, and I'm already seeing something.
Three for sure, and it depends on what Zach Stacy's role is.
Okay.
No, I think there's more. I think there could be 4. I'm going to say 4.
Okay.
Would you like to know their names?
I'll just tell you right now, with Giovanni Bernard still being second, and that's, you know, another news topic that we have. I don't think I put it in there. Or it came out today, at least, that he's anticipating being secondary and is okay with it for now. They're going to use him more as a receiver, more as a change of pace back.
Who? Giovanni Bernard?
Yes.
For the Bengals.
Did you hear what Marvin Lewis had to say about him?
No.
He started comparing him to Ray Rice, Doug Martin, and MJD.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy that we think he is. He said something to that effect.
I don't think, mentioning
those names.
I don't think that there's any problem with him saying that. The only thing is Greenells doesn't get hurt.
Nope.
He doesn't come off the field on first and second down, at least for the most part. He's not going to.
Not yet.
I don't know. I don't see Bernard's role as a rookie being that dynamic by comparison. Like, I would still take...
What do you think the floor is for his role? Like, what's the minimum that you would expect from Giovanni Bernard?
Total yardage?
No, not statistically. Touches. Just role. I'm talking about his role.
I mean, again, change of pace back, so he gets maybe every third series where he'll play on early downs, mm-hmm. and then he'll be in on third down.
And what do you think... And that's the absolute floor. So even in that situation, you could probably pencil him in for 7-8 touches a game.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not drafting that to be a starter for your fantasy team.
No, but I think he's a good enough player where, and Ben Jarvis is not a good enough rusher to completely push him into that role for 16
Right, but
weeks.
You're talking about goal line work is still probably going to be Green Ellis.
And then how many carries left for Green Ellis after that?
Well, if you're only giving 8 to 10 touches for...
Yeah, then you're probably looking at around 15 for Ben Jarvis
at least
to begin the year. Well, I don't know. I think Bernard is far more exciting.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I think
this
that
this table
the coaching
is far more exciting than Ben Jarvis Greenell.
This table,
the intro music
have
is far more exciting than Ben Jarvis Greenell.
Let's not talk about Ben Jarvis like that.
But I'm going to agree with you.
It is.
I'm just going to agree with you without even hearing it.
All right, I want to skip these last two news items. So I want to get into the rookie rankings.
You don't want to hear about Matt Forte?
Matt Forte is going to be more involved in the passing game than Carson Palmer.
If you read the
I'm starting to fall in love with Forte.
Yeah, I just moved him up to 11.
You're falling in love with Giovanni Bernard. You're falling
and
in love
Matt
with Forte.
Forte.
Relax, Dave. So anyway, top 40 rookie rankings. It's kind of weird because if I'm not looking at this sheet here, I'm not thinking that you're all that high on Giovanni Bernard, but there he is at number 2.
It's long term. This is for dynasty leagues, rookie rankings for dynasty leagues.
All right, what does that mean exactly?
That means by next year, Giovanni Bernard could be exactly what Marvin Lewis said he could be.
By 2014 or 13?
13. 14.
Okay, but next season.
Next season.
Not this upcoming season.
We're already in this season.
All right. Well, when you make these dynasty rankings, how do you juggle between who's going to be best this year and who's going to be best going forward?
Well, what we did in the story on the site is we did the ranking that you see in front of you, Adam, which is the top 40 just listed, and I did an expected average draft position for the 2013 season. So Tavon Austin is not going to be the first rookie drafted this year, but this is not for that. This is for a rookie-only draft.
Okay. So it's Austin. I'm not going to read all 40, but Austin, Giovanni Bernard, Le'Veon Bell, Monte Ball, Eddie Lacy, your top five.
Yeah, and Eddie Lacy, you know, when I wrote the story and when I did the ranking, it was when Lacy was still, you know, coming off of potential toe fusion surgery, and, you know, the reports have gotten a little bit better. So you can sort of juggle, I think, 3, 4, and 5, however you really want to.
Ball, Lacy. Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell, Monte Ball, Eddie Lacy. The thing that concerns me about Monte Ball is he had so much work in college. And how is that going to sort of carry over into the early part of his career? And look, you see what the Broncos are right now. They have yet to make a move with any of their running backs. They still have Willis McGay on the roster. They still have Knowshon Moreno on the roster. They still have a coach that favors veteran guys. And Le'Veon Bell, look, you know, we talked about this coming out of the draft. He didn't seem like the type of featured running back that you can bank on long term. You know, he seems like a good sort of Band-Aid type of guy. So, you know, you can move Lacy up to even the number one spot if you really think he's that talented. But they drafted Jonathan Franklin for a reason. I think that kind of weighs him down a little bit.
Okay, in terms of the workload for Monte Ball,
it's like almost 1,000 carries in college.
924. Right. 356 last year, 307 the prior year, his junior year. I wanted to bring up Ray Rice because I remember that being a big concern. He had 910 carries in 3 years. 335 in 2006, his second to last season, and 380 in 2007.
But Rice early in his NFL career, if I'm not mistaken, he wasn't the feature back.
I just want to bring
it up. There was 1 year where he
shared with McGahee.
That was the one guy I always remember. They kept harping on it. Such a workload in college.
And they took it easy on him.
He's not exactly the ground and pound kind of running back. Does a lot of things. So maybe it's a little bit different. But anyway, just thought I'd bring that up. All right, Dave, your thoughts? Should we go further down in the list?
Yeah, I think you should go further down in the list. I like the boldness of Tavon Austin, number one overall. And I think the reason why you did that is because you see him being helpful both in the short term and the long term.
Yeah, well,
and
this isn't short. Don't think short term.
Jump right into this.
Don't think short term. This is for 2014 and beyond as well as this year. You know, So I just think Tavon Austin's got the opportunity based on what his role should be, what they're going to use him as. He has a chance to be relevant for 5+ years. And you can't really say that about any of these running backs. Are they going to be relevant for 5+ years? So, you know, Tavon Austin, if the direct comparison is Percy Harvin, you think about Harvin's maturation process. You know, it really took 2-3 years before he started to become just the superstar. And you see what it led to this offseason, going to Seattle, getting a big contract, and now he's going to be such a featured part of their offense and probably going to continue to produce at a high level.
All right, so it's Austin, Bernard, Bell, Ball, Lacy. Number six is DeAndre Hopkins, Cordarrelle Patterson, Zach Stacy, Keenan Allen, and Marcus Lattimore, number 10. Dave, jump in whenever.
I think Lattimore's too low, believe it or not.
It's just a matter of health. I mean, if he's healthy, yeah. I totally agree with you. He could be, if he's comes back next year and is the Marcus Lattimore we saw before the knee injury, he should be number one. I mean, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. There's just the uncertainty of it. So if I'm doing a rookie draft right now, and I'm looking at it, and I'm picking, you know, let's just say you get past 5, and it's, you know, 6 through 10. To me, the other guys just have a little bit more safety involved. With Stacy's role, who knows? With Patterson, can he develop into an NFL receiver? Who knows? But you know the thing about those guys, and Keenan Allen really sort of another guy like that, just in terms of uber talent, can they stay healthy? Because if they stay healthy, they're going to be superstars.
The thing that I like about Lattimore is he's already come back from one of these injuries before.
Not like this.
He had a torn ACL. Yeah, this injury's worse. I think the game plan for the Niners is pretty much out there now. They're not going to use him in 2013.
May not in 2014, though. Frank Gore's got 2 years left on his deal, and if he could stay healthy and produce at the level he's been producing,
well, for especially that to now happen, that
they're. Huh?
for that for him to sit out 2 years.
He's not going to sit out 2 years.
I'm saying he's not going to even.
He's
touch
not
going to
play this year. He's not going
to
play this year.
And then next year he starts to work his way.
Next
into
year,
it
yeah, but
for a 2015 breakout.
I totally agree. But keep in mind, if Kendall Hunter plays at the level that they expect Kendall Hunter to play at, and LaMichael James plays at the level that they expect LaMichael James to play at, that's still three guys he's going to have to work with. And you heard what the general manager said this week.
We like
Trent
having a three-headed
monster. We like having a three-headed monster. So Lattimore's no guarantee to be even what Frank Gore was the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a little bit of red flags with Lattimore, but I do think potential talent-wise, opportunity. I mean, he's playing behind the best run-blocking offensive line in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be the same group in 2015.
They'll be a little older, and there'll probably be some changes, sure.
Yeah, but the philosophy is going to be the same. The coaching staff, you assume, based on where they are right now, is going to be the same.
Yeah.
And, again, if he can rebound and play at the Marcus Lattimore level that we saw before the injury, he's going to be a star.
He's decidedly seventh for me. I would put him ahead of Patterson, Stacy, Keenan Allen, because I like that upside, and I would hope to see him in 2014. And you do have to look long-term with the Dynasty League just because – That's what you're playing
right.
for.
But and you know, just to flip it a little bit, if you are playing to win now, he's not going to help you.
Right.
Yeah. Tyler Eifert, 11. E.J. Manuel, 12. Jonathan Franklin, 13. Zach Ertz, 14. Aaron Dobson, 15. Eifert, Manuel, Franklin, Ertz, Dobson. Dobson, a Patriots wide receiver.
Yeah, I struggled with where to put Dobson. I almost wanted to put him in the top 12. I just think the talent potential – opportunity. The thing that concerns me is, again, if you're looking, you know, more than just a 2-3 year window, Tom Brady's only going to play another 3 years. And then is it Ryan Mallett? Do they blow the whole thing up? Is the Patriots still the Patriots that we know that they can be? Is Bill Belichick still there? I mean, does he, you know, ride off in the sunset when Brady's done? So Dobson, short term, I think is very good. Long term, you know, again, past that 3 year window, if you're getting 3 years of Tom Brady and Aaron Dobson, you're going to be very happy about it. So, you know, make no bones about it, which is why I had trouble, you know, not putting him higher. But with the way tight ends play right now, Eifert and Ertz could be very good starting next season or as early as next season. You know, Ertz may be this season if they cut Brett Celek. And then Jonathan Franklin's sort of a wild card for me because the Eddie Lacy thing. You know, if Franklin was on another team, he'd be a top 10 guy, no question. But because he's behind a guy who's more talented than him, with a team that isn't a run-dominant team. You know, they're going to run the ball probably to the level that we saw last year when Benson was going and Rodgers wasn't throwing at the same level. But still, it's not a run-heavy team. So that's why Franklin's outside the top 12 and probably why Dobson's just a little bit lower.
Anything from you, Dave?
I have the exact same headache about Franklin and Green Bay. I mean, this looks like the Carolina Panthers' backfield happening in Green Bay for the next 6-7 years between Lacy and Franklin. I'm a big Tyler Eifert guy. I think he's going to end up playing a lot this year. I would probably rank him. I have a hard time. If I have the seventh pick in the draft, now that I look at it, do I take Eifert or do I take Lattimore? Whereas Eifert can help you a little bit this year, probably not start for you this year on your fantasy team. That's why you lean toward Lattimore. Because if you're going to get a guy who's not going to be able to help you in 2013, it might as well be the running back with unbelievable potential, which is Lattimore. Okay, so I like Eifert eighth. And I think in time he could end up being a fantastic weapon for Cincinnati and one that could pay off toward the second half of this season and beyond. I haven't gone as far as to rank somebody ninth yet, but you know, if I'm up and I'm looking at who's left, I would consider somebody like E.J. Manuel, who I think will get time to develop in Buffalo. I'm nervous about Aaron Dobson. I think it's ballsy to have him 15th in your rankings. We haven't seen the Patriots really take on a wide receiver and cultivate him into someone great in a long time.
They also haven't had a need like they have this year either.
That's true. I don't know if Dobson can contribute right away. I think he's somebody that is a 2014-2015 type.
Just depends on what they do. If they throw him into a starting lineup right away, if he proves that he can handle it,
right,
he's going to fall into production.
Well, I did want to mention something about you were talking about Eifert. Jason Lockenfora just put out his breakout players for 2013, and one of his guys is Jermaine Gresham.
It's the only guy on the list I totally disagree with.
Unbelievably interesting.
I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
You don't?
I think it's interesting, yeah. I don't agree with it, but I...
Oh, okay. I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I think it's interesting that you would call him a breakout player this year.
Well, he's making the argument that he's 2 years away from free agency, and it's time to step up already.
Well, I mean, you can say that about a lot of players.
That's not the only argument he made. But yes, you're right. So you don't agree with that. He has Eddie Lacy as a breakout, Emmanuel Sanders, Pierre Garçon, Jared Cook, Chris Ivory.
And one thing I'll say about this when you're talking about rookie rankings for dynasty leagues, it's also a matter of you don't necessarily go by a typical strategy. You're filling a need for a roster spot. So like when Dave's saying if I'm picking sixth or seventh, you may have three tight ends that you really love that are all young guys that you don't have a need to take a tight end.
Yeah.
You may have a receiving core of six guys that are, you know, third, fourth year, they're going to be very good for many years. You may look at taking, you know, if you have, let's just say your quarterback is Brady, you may favor an EJ Manuel there, you know, just to sort of stockpile your depth a little bit at other places. You know, the dynasty view is a little bit different than a standard view.
Yep. Okay. 16 through 20, Marcus Wheaton.
That's another guy I struggled to find Wheaton. A spot from. Yeah, because I think he's got a ton of potential.
I like him better than Dobson.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see a problem with that. Again, I just think it's opportunity. Dobson could start. Wheaton's going to be third on the depth chart. You know, he's going to be the slot guy there. And if Miller comes back, you know, he's going to be fourth in terms of target. So,
okay, 16 is Marcus Wheaton for the Steelers. Joseph Randall, 17th, Cowboys running back. Justin Hunter, 18, wide receiver for the Titans. Robert Woods, Bills wide receiver at 19. And Terrence Williams, Cowboys wide receiver at 20. We'll
another
stop
guy
here.
Another guy that I struggled with where to put him, because Williams could be the starting receiver for the Cowboys as early as next season with Miles Austin potentially gone. And, you know, the one thing we see, the Cowboys, if you look at where they what they did coming out of their draft, they planned for, I think, the future in two key spots. Gavin Escobar, tight end, with Jason Witten, you know, coming near the end of his career. And Terrence Williams with the opportunity that Miles Austin is not going to be there next year. Could be as early as this season. You know, there was some talk that Austin would get cut. Not going to happen. But Williams, you know, could be a guy that steps into that role as early as 2014. So he's another guy that could sort of, you could look at and say, I'd rather have him over some of these guys. But like Justin Hunter, he's going to play right away this year, especially if Nate Washington's cut. Robert Woods could be the starter for the Bills and, you know, a completely rebuilding passing game with E.J. Manuel there. And if they move Steve Johnson into the slot and you're talking about Marquise Goodwin and Woods on the outside, it's just an entirely different look that we haven't seen from the Bills, just with three guys that could all play potentially. You know, we know Steve Johnson can play, but those other two guys, you know, if they can step into that role, could be a fun team to watch.
Or it could be a total disaster.
Or it could be a total disaster.
I'm putting two rookies out there. And I don't know if Goodwin's going to see a lot of playing time as a rookie, but definitely a player with unbelievable speed. I don't know how many routes he can run effectively.
He just needs to run one.
Right, but if you can only run the one route, I don't think you.
Oh,
can
I'm not saying we're talking about.
We're not
talking about him as an elite fantasy option, right. But you know,
Woods is far more well-rounded.
As we know with teams, if you could have a guy that takes away two players, a corner and a safety, it's going to make your passing game a lot better.
Hunter is very intriguing to me, and I kind of wish he ended up on a different team
Tennessee.
That changes. His long-term future is great. Kenny Britt's in a contract year this year. If he's lousy, they're not going to bring him back. Nate Washington scheduled to make over $4 million each of the next two seasons. I would imagine he's going to get cut if Hunter has a good camp. Like, he'll get cut or traded in August.
Well, I mean, you look at what they did. They bring in Kevin Walter. They draft Justin Hunter. Clearly, they're going to get rid of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
All five of those guys are
amazing. Yeah, I think Walter might be one guy they get rid of. I think that they've got some really good weapons, and I think Hunter kind of puts their weapons over the top. If Jake Locker was a better quarterback, this is a team we'd talk about contending for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. And Hunter's a little raw, but he's fast. He is real fast, and he's got good size to him too, which is something that Goodwin doesn't have. So he's intriguing. I like him as a second-round pick in Dynasty League drafts.
Well, the rest of the list is available at fantasynews.cbsports.com to help you out in your dynasty drafts. So, yeah, thank you, Jamie, for the hard work. I don't envy you having to rank 40 rookies.
Yeah, you know,
this
again,
is a tough assignment.
You have to take into, you know, what they're going to be for this year, you know, which is why, like, a Joseph Randall is where he is, you know, because if, as we've seen from DeMarco Murray, 2 years, he's missed 9 games.
Yeah.
Randall can
he's
clearly
17th.
Step in and play a role this year. You know, does he have the talent to be a long-term fantasy option? No. The one thing, and I'm curious Dave's thought on this, I ranked, it's just at 21, just real quick.
Yeah.
Andre Ellington over Stephen Taylor. I just think talent-wise, Ellington's a little bit better than Taylor. But Taylor can win the job this year. I mean, there's no guarantee that it's Mendenhall or Ryan Williams. I mean, Taylor was the guy they drafted first. So,
The story, and I think I've said it before on the podcast, is that they targeted Taylor and then they just looked on their draft board in round six and Ellington was there and they said, all right, let's just take him. He's got all sorts of potential. Really liked him coming out of Clemson, but he's injury prone. He got hurt practicing at the Senior Bowl. So, you do one of these to his knee, and He's out for 6 weeks.
Let the record show, David flicked the mic.
Thank you.
And I just called him David for some reason. For the first time ever. Okay. David Rich over there. Okay, anyway. Jamie did a... Come on. It's funny. It's funny, Dave.
I don't get how David Rich is funny.
It's Dave Richard. We've swapped it.
So why did you... I don't get it.
I have a friend in Colorado named Dave Rich.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it must get confusing for you.
No.
Okay. Jamie did a PPR draft last night.
I'm an adult.
We are going to critique his team. 12-team PPR?
12-team PPR.
Quarterbacks are Eli Manning and someone named Big Ben.
As you can tell, I was the last person to draft a quarterback because somebody in round 9 decided to take Tony Romo as their second quarterback. And by the way, this is
Did he pick before you in round 9 or after you in round 9?
Before me. This is a 4-point passing touchdown league. Okay. So I was going to wait on quarterback.
I still like it.
Eli and Roethlisberger. LeSean McCoy, Alfred Morris, Reggie Bush, Shane Vereen, Ronnie Hillman, Joseph Randall, Robert Turbin.
Oh, yes. That's gorgeous.
How many running backs, how many receivers?
What round did you get Reggie in?
3.
Goodness gracious. In a PPR league?
So you start two.
That's a steal.
Your base lineup is, and the flex can be either or. That's kind of weird how they phrase it. So your base lineup is quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 receivers, tight end, kicker, defense, 6 bench spots, I think. No, I'm sorry. It's 18 round draft. So if you figure that out.
Yeah.
And you could start either running back, wide receiver, tight end. So you can start 3 running backs or 4 receivers or 2 tight ends.
Okay. So, yeah, again, LeSean, Alf, Reggie Bush, Shane Vereen, Hillman, Randall, and Turbin.
Yes.
So you went with 3 running backs with your first 3 picks?
I think so. I mean, I was picking 11. So the fact that LeSean McCoy fell to 11 in the PPR is a steal. Mm-hmm. Just a quick side note. I wouldn't have taken Alfred Morris in the second round if I was paying full attention. My wife's out of town, so I was putting my one-year-old to sleep as this draft was going on. I should have taken Brandon Marshall there in round 2, which would have made my team a little bit more sound. But, yeah, I went. You know, so you're picking 11, so I don't know exactly what to swing if I took Bush in 3 or 4.
Okay. And wide receiver, Colston, Garcon, Antonio Brown, DeSean Jackson, Rob Streeter or Tommy Streeter? Rod Streeter, excuse me.
Neither.
Yeah, Rod Streeter. Well, Tommy Streeter is Streee, I believe.
Yes.
All right, Colston, Garcon, Brown, DeSean Jackson, Rod Streeter. Sorry.
Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
How do you feel about these receivers?
I like them. Young, Dave.
I like them. I don't love them. I mean, you know, clearly when you focus on running back the way I did, you know, I'm going to be short somewhere. So receiver was where I was short. And I knew once I came out of the first 4 picks with only Colston as my number 1 guy that I was going to take receiver. You know, focus on receiver with at least 3 of my next 4 picks, which I did, you know, with Garcon, Brown, and then I skipped a pick. I think that's where I took Vereen. And then I took DeSean.
All right, and Gates and James Casey are your tight ends. Ravens defense.
Casey is just a Flyers, my last round pick.
And Dawson, your kicker.
Any other tight ends available when you took Casey? Well, who else was left?
Ertz was there. Those are the 2 that I had queued up was Casey and Ertz. I mean, it was the Broncos guys. Everybody took 2 tight ends for the most part. It wasn't, again, when you're talking 18 rounds, you know, you're going to double up in spots. I almost considered, instead of taking the second tight end, taking the 3rd quarterback, you know, just to give myself another option. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, why would I want to put myself through the headache?
Who would it have been?
Well, I mean, Dalton was undrafted in an 18-round draft.
Oh, my goodness.
Cutler was undrafted.
Oh, my gosh.
Dave, what record is Jamie's team going to have? What do you think?
It's a really good league. I mean, I went back and looked at the teams. Sorry to interrupt you. But, you know, quarterback and receiver are going to be an issue for me probably by comparison because everybody has at least 1 superstar receiver where I don't.
I like Phil Dawson as your kicker. I'm not being sarcastic. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
13 weeks. What do you think?
Let's give him 8 wins.
Yeah.
I was originally going to say 7-6. But Jamie makes good decisions, so I would say.
Well, there's no rosters, no transactions allowed in this league. So it's
sounds like a crappy league.
The worst thing about this league, and this is the truth, you can't make waiver moves until after week 1.
Ah.
Is this a real league that you're playing out?
Yeah.
Oh, what? You drafting in May?
It's a magazine.
Get out of
That's the problem with magazines.
Yeah.
They're doing all
and
this
And I'll
stuff
tell you, you know,
have they ever heard of the internet?
I always use these,
magazines are cool.
These mocks that we I'm in the middle of another magazine mock, which is a 0.5-point PPR. We're through, I just made my 3rd pick, No, I'm sorry, my fourth pick. So my first four picks were, I took Alfred Morris round one, Steven Jackson round two, Drew Brees round three, and this is 6 points for passing touchdown. So end of round three.
Sweet pick,
and
Brees.
And Michael Crabtree in round four. So I'm very happy with the start of this draft as well.
All right, cool. Ready for some emails?
Sure. Born ready.
FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. I get the first reference.
You're singing a weird song.
It's from Tom in Oxnard, California. Dear William, Hamish, and Stephen. William, Hamish, and Stephen's my name. It's my island. Right? Is that what he says? My island. That would be Braveheart.
Ah.
William Wallace.
Right.
Okay, I had an off year, so I'll be picking first in my 10-team keeper league. Who am I taking first as my second running back behind Marshawn Lynch? C.J. Spiller, Trent Richardson, or Jamal Charles?
That's a studly group to choose from.
I like Richardson.
Yeah, I think you go Richardson.
He's
probably the safest of the three.
I'm keeping Colin Kaepernick in the 8th or Matt Stafford in the 12th.
Oh, boy.
I'd go Stafford.
Yeah, just because of the value. He can keep the player in the round forever they're picked. So I think Stafford kind of wins out here. But it's close because Kaepernick's pretty awesome.
Oh, man. What are you not quite sure about how to pronounce this name. Not Ryan. Where's Ryan from, Dave?
Ryan's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
All right. He says, hey, Sena or Cena?
Wow.
What do you think?
I think it's Cena based on your face when I said Sena. Cena, Orton, and Ryback. Did I get it
What's
right?
What's funny is it's Cena and Ryback. You got that right, but it's Orton.
I don't believe you. All right, keep three.
Even I know what that's from.
I know it's wrestling. I just didn't know.
What's the first guy's name?
John Cena, right?
Sure.
Who's he wrestling at Extreme Rules on Sunday? Only on pay-per-view.
I think the Iron Sheik, because I follow him on Twitter.
Huh.
He had
great
something
follow.
Horrible to say about...
He's got something horrible to say about everybody.
Angelina Jolie maybe today? Just so weird. All right, keep three.
He likes making people humble.
Yeah, he sure does. Andre Johnson, Colin Kaepernick, Reggie Bush, MJD, Matt Forte.
Wow.
Forte is a must.
Yep.
It's a tough group otherwise.
If I'm making the decision right now, I'm going Forte, Bush, and Andre Johnson.
And then you're going to put in MJD if he's healthy in camp and shedding weight.
Yep.
Okay, Chris from New Berlin, Wisconsin. Hello, Spartacus. I have no...
Crixus?
Crixus? Never heard of that. At Ganicus.
We probably all butchered that.
Yeah. I
didn't say anything, so you
yeah,
guys...
Yeah, Jamie just smiled.
That's right.
I have a keeper question. Standard 10-team league, we're allowed to keep one player. I have Miles Austin.
No.
Jamal Charles. Eric Decker.
No.
Brian, or he did have Brian Hartline. I took that out. Trent Richardson. Darren Sproles.
No.
Russell Wilson. And Aaron Rodgers. I know I have Aaron Rodgers, but he didn't really help me at all last year whatsoever. I was thinking...
Yeah, that 50-point game just...
Thinking I would keep Richardson or Charles.
You have to lean toward keeping the running back, especially in a 10-team league. You're going to be able to get a great quarterback, potentially Rodgers in the draft. And if him, then Russell Wilson, you know that they're going to be there. I think the answer is the same as before. It's Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
I am getting
with Charles
a sense,
a very close second.
I'm getting a sense that people don't think Rodgers had as good of a year as he did. And I think there were a couple of cold stretches in there.
There were.
And that 50-point game kind of skewed things a little bit. I would say he wasn't as good of a fantasy quarterback as the final numbers would indicate.
No, his consistency rate was not that great. But, again, A, this is why we said don't draft a quarterback in round one. You're going to get value from quarterbacks later. This happens. You know, I mean, you look at the way that a lot of these guys play. I mean, Breeze was the most consistent guy last year, but... This year, Rodgers could be the most consistent guy. I mean, you know, they're great players. Their numbers at the end of the year are going to look great. You know, that's why they're capable of 50-point games or 40-point games. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, when those will come. And you hope they come more often than not.
Here's why people feel this way about Aaron Rodgers. Despite averaging 25.4 fantasy points per game during the regular season, and despite finishing second in fantasy points overall at quarterback, and I guess overall in the league too, he only had 9 games with at least 20 fantasy points. 8 of them were for 30 or more fantasy points, and 3 of them came at the end of the year. So if you had Aaron Rodgers and you didn't even make the playoffs,
right,
you really did not get – you got 6 games of 30 or more fantasy points.
All right, here is – sorry, Dave. Here is a question.
And he slumped down the stretch.
From Siobhan in Orlando, Florida. Tommy, Chucky, and Angelica. Oh, come on, people. No, Dave?
What?
Rugrats? Kids aren't watching Nickelodeon these days?
That was what was on TV when you were a kid, Adam.
They still don't have Rugrats? They don't have Rugrats still? All right.
I've been meaning
to email since the end of last season, but I have been too depressed. I would like for you guys to please make me feel better by telling me how my team in a 12-team standard scoring league did not make the playoffs. He had Peyton Manning, Adrian Peterson, Darren McFadden, CJ Spiller, and Mykalis Shore. Brandon Marshall, Miles Austin, Devon Bess, Antonio Gates, Greg Olson, a defense that he picked up every week, and a kicker that he picked up every week. He also added Amendola, Bryce Brown, and Oshawn Moreno. That is a pretty good team.
It's a very good team.
How did I not make the playoffs? Oh, yeah, I had the third highest points in my league. My luck is how I didn't make the playoffs. This crap happens to me every year. Last 2 years, I played Sean Green when he had 3 touchdown games. Everyone I play has their career week that week. Oh, he played against Sean Green. All right, well, you got to stick with it, Siobhan. I understand the vent, but you're good. He also wants in the podcast league, but...
He probably won't get in because his luck sucks.
Good call.
You know, I mean, this is the one thing about fantasy football that we can always talk about, but there's nothing we can do about it. You can have the best draft possible. You can set the best lineup in any given week. Somebody in your league is going to have an all-star week. Sean Green scores 3 touchdowns against you in consecutive years, and you're sunk.
I like a league that one of our colleagues, Jay Darren Darsh, does, where they play head-to-head on a weekly basis like all of us do, but they also use the breakdown from that week, which you can find at CBSSports.com. And the highest point score, or I don't know if it's more than multiple than higher, but I think it's the highest score
on the breakdown
at the end of the season, whoever wins the breakdown. I'm probably going to say the wrong thing. But they use total points to determine their final wild card spot. So it takes this.
We do that in our massive office league too.
It takes this out of the equation, you know, the luck factor. So
yeah.
I don't know how deep they go in terms for this particular league in terms of, you know, if you would have made it as the third highest point scorer, but it does factor in, you know, so you can be under 500 if your team is just running into, you know, buzzsaws every week.
Right.
You still get in.
And I've talked about this type of format before where you play 2 games every week. One is against head to head and another one is just total points scored. So you're in a 12-team league. You get a win if you finish in the top 6 in points scored that week. That's in addition to a possible win that you get in your heads-up matchup.
I think if I were going to start a league, which I will, I think my ideal setup would be 6 teams make the playoffs out of 12 and 2 divisions. Top 2 finishers in the division make the playoffs, and then the next 2 highest points scoring.
Is East Division Maybelline and L'Oreal?
I know which division you're going to be in. All right, Stephen McKenzie or Stephen McKenzie?
I think that's Stephen.
All right, we'll go with Stephen. Stephen McKenzie, where's he from, Dave?
He is from Davie, Florida.
I'm trying to make jokes today. You guys are just not laughing. I feel like we're in bad moods today. Are we in bad moods?
What kind of jokes are you trying to make? Because they're not very funny.
The Stephen Stephen thing?
How is that a joke?
Because, I mean,
butchered 4 names so far.
Who would pronounce it Stephen? My best friend is Stephen, but I would never look at a random guy.
Del Curry named his son Stephen.
I know, but who would actually see S-T-E-P-H-E-N and say Stephen?
Look,
nobody would.
Look, I don't watch wrestling, but I know that that's Cena, not Kana, whatever you said.
Cena.
Senna.
All right. Stephen says, I'm in a $100
I'm trying to make jokes by butchering people's names.
Non-PPR.
Ha, ha, ha.
I'm trying to get some smiles in here. Slight touchdown heavy league.
Buy us lunch. We'll smile all you want.
We're adding. I want to eat my pretzels so badly. We're adding 1 point for every 10 receiving / rush yards.
Eat your pretzels on the air. That went well last time.
I can keep a player for up to 3 years, but each year their salary goes up by half the previous year. I've been offered Steven Jackson for $23 next year, coming on for his 2nd year, and Marshawn Lynch for $12 in his 3rd year, so I guess he wouldn't be able to keep him anymore. And Jordy Nelson for $12 in his 3rd year. What? Oh.
You butchered.
Marshawn Lynch and Steven Jackson. 4. Jordy Nelson for $12 in his 3rd year. Tony Gonzalez for $2 in his 2nd year. And Marcus Colston for $15 in his 2nd year.
Yeah, where do I sign? That's a deal.
I like his strategy, too.
Yeah.
He's going to throw back Steven Jackson.
Stephen Jackson. Okay, sorry.
It's Stephon Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because, I got a smile out of Jamie.
Because Gonzalez has no value to you outside of the season. And Colson and Nelson are very solid receivers, but you're getting Marshawn Lynch, who could be, you know.
But you're only getting Marshawn Lynch for this year.
Who cares?
You have to throw him back.
He's $12 in a $100 auction. That's amazing.
Right.
Okay, next up is from Jeff. Where's he from?
Jeff is from Medicine Hat, Canada.
Is that a place?
It is. I don't know which area of Canada it's in.
Okay. He says, Dear Hank, Runkle, and Atticus Fetch. Anyone?
Boo Radley?
No, I had to look it up. Should have known it, though. It's Californication. I play in a 12-team standard format league with quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers. In the mock drafts I have taken part in, Monte Ball and Le'Veon Bell are being taken routinely in the third round. I plan on picking running back with my first two picks. Is it worth taking either of those two in the third, or should I target a wide receiver? Thanks for the tips, and never flirt with the women making your food. Okay.
I assume that was a baseball podcast reference.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just
maybe it's just some helpful advice for you on the dating
scene. If it doesn't go well, you don't want them.
Because Lord knows Jamie and I don't flirt with our wives anymore.
Eye-dropping my food. All right,
that's too high for those guys.
Yeah, Bell and Ball, third round, crazy.
It is as of now.
No, it will be as...
It probably will be, but, you know, imagine a situation where Bell just looks outstanding in training camp.
Imagine
the
a situation where every running back in front of them on a rank list is dead. Then, yes, they go in.
That would be sad.
Yes.
And I might cry. I'd probably go to some funerals.
Okay,
I'd
well...
I'd wear black.
I'm going...
And by the way,
I'm going to try to pick it up a little bit.
Medicine
here.
Hat's in Alberta, Canada.
Oh.
61,000 people live there.
Oh, I'm sorry to all you Medicine Hatters. Dale, for not knowing it. Dale said, where's Dale from?
Lincoln, Nebraska.
You ever been there?
7 times.
I've been there. It's a nice place. 10-team league. You've never been there.
Not once.
10-team league, drafting 2nd in the 5th round. So I have to keep 4. I guess there's first 4 picks. Matt Flynn, Doug Martin, Matt Forte, Steven Jackson, Julio Jones, Percy Harvin.
Well, Matt
Why
Flynn.
Is he at Matt Flynn on his
that's
roster.
That's a must.
This is a first-time fantasy football player, or maybe that he just completed his first year, so be nice.
Okay.
He added Flynn on the off chance that we think he's going to be a better keeper than anybody else.
Okay, so Doug Martin, yes. Matt Forte, yes. Julio Jones, yes.
I like Percy, but how do you throw Steven Jackson back?
Yeah, I'd go with the 3 running backs and Julio Jones.
Yeah, especially if you can keep Julio for longer than just the 1 year. It's hard saying goodbye to Percy Harvin, but you do draft 2nd in the 5th round, so maybe you can pick him back then, or...
Somebody better.
Matt Flynn.
Did you guys have fun today?
Always, Stefan. Was that the name of your au pair?
My au pair, yeah. He was one of my many au pairs. Actually,
I didn't know you had multiple
au pairs. He was my butler, if I remember correctly, Stefan. Oh, no, he was the elevator guy. He would hit.
Are you doing the facial expression for our benefit, or like you're thinking like you're looking at the?
He thinks he's still on camera. That's why you know the makeup's on.
Screw it, my head. All right, I'm gonna go eat pretzels. Everybody, email
us.
No,
he went on the air. He went on the air.
Fantasy football at CBS.
Take us out of here with a pretzel chew.
Well, I got the outro music playing. I don't know.
Now start talking.
People will be able to hear that.
No. Put the whole pretzel.
Put like 4 pretzels in. Let's go.
Come on,
another one. Put it in.
They're not saltines. You ever done the saltine challenge?
Yeah.
You can't do it, right?
I've come very close.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Later.
Bye.